God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, the 23rd of August, 2011, the third day of our 2011 Missions Conference. In a few moments, you will hear a sermon from Brother Troy Williams, who takes the gospel to Asia Minor. But before Brother Williams, we will enjoy special music from Richard and Joyce Krotz, missionaries to Papua New Guinea. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you. And so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Enjoyed being here with you, and like the pastor said, I'm glad he asked me to speak again. I was a little worried Monday morning, you know, that I know the saying very well that they usually save the best for last. I was a little worried when he asked me to go first. I was like, well, anyway, you got it tonight, tomorrow night, brother, so amen, you hang in there. So now you're worried, they're saving the best for last, amen. But I've enjoyed being here. But I did show my slides a little bit Sunday morning, and I spoke about that. And I don't know why. I know that God ordains our steps. God ordains everything to happen the way it does for a reason. And I really feel led to do something a little bit different tonight. And what I mean by that, I'm going to do my missions message at the end. But since I've already shown the slides and I've talked about Turkey or whatever, I really feel impressed that the Lord wants me to share a couple of short stories, I guess, in a sense, before I get into my missions message. Because sometimes if I were to ask you tonight, what do you think the biggest miracle in the Bible is? I mean, there's no doubt some of you in here would say, you know, parting the Red Sea, or maybe healing somebody from leprosy, or giving sight to the blind, or raising somebody from the dead. And no doubt those are big miracles. No doubt God can defy the natural laws and perform a miracle. But I want us to take a look at something tonight, and what I call the miracle of the process. And what I mean by that is, okay, it's not that difficult really for God to raise somebody from the dead or to part the Red Sea. I mean, He is God. But what I'm talking about is for over thousands of years and thousands of people, for God to fulfill prophecies over a period of time. That's a miracle. Putting people in places, in the right place, that His word would always come true. Folks, that's major. Not just a one-time sudden event, but you know what? So many times we want that one-time event, don't we? And I don't believe that we can necessarily live by that. So tonight, I mean, praise God, when God does a miracle like that, man, we're all like, thank you, God. But there's a lot of times that God just simply chooses to work through processes in our lives. Tonight, I want to share a little bit with you, and this is what I'm saying. I've never done this in a church before, but I want to share with you tonight just a little bit of the processes that God used in my life to get me where I'm at today. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't have a clue, you know, who everybody is. I've met a lot of wonderful people here this week. But I don't know what God's doing or God is going to do in your life. But I want to share this with you. Every one of us missionaries have very different personalities. And one of the things I think that we really need to learn how to do is being honest with God, not trying to be religious with God. Just being honest with God. I was telling Brother Rick today that it seems like, I mean, God is not intimidated by you. God's not intimidated by you just opening up and sharing your heart with God, even when you're upset with God. No sense in being religious, just be real with God. So I want to share a couple things. When God started, before I get into the missions message, when God started first working in my heart and life, God had blessed my business. I've shared with several of you here, I owned a tool and dyeing machine shop, and God really blessed that business when that's what He wanted me to do. But as God started working in my heart, the process began of God starting to change my way of thinking. And I didn't want to, I mean, praise God for some of these missionaries and some of these people here who serve God. And I don't want to say this in the wrong way, so please don't take this the wrong way. But some people serve God and they love God. They're just on fire to be in the ministry. They're on fire to preach. They're on fire. It's wherever God follows you. I mean, wherever God calls you, man, they're excited about it. But sometimes, not everybody's like that. And I've not always been like that. I thank God for my salvation. Don't get me wrong. But I have not always been jumping for joy every time that God moved in my life to do something. And I would always throw things up at God. And the first thing I want to talk to you about tonight is what's the process and the things that God took me through with my children. When God first started calling me into the ministry, I would throw my children up at God. No, God, I can't follow you in a full-time ministry. I've seen a lot of bad experiences with pastors and missionary kids, and they don't have anything. They're broke, they're poor, they're pitiful. And I personally did not want that for my kids. So I would throw my kids up to God. No, God, I can't do this. I've got a good job. I've got a good career. I can provide for my kids. Lord, please, I'm not going to do that. And you know what God showed with me is a passage about, we know about Abraham. We know about Isaac. So when I threw this up at God, threw my kids up at God, you know what? He just throwed them right back at me with this. He said, Troy, and as I'm reading the Bible and I'm thinking about all this stuff that's going on, he said, Troy, you take Abraham, for example. Abraham talked the talk and walked the walk, so much so that when he told his son, a teenage boy, probably very strong, very fast, could have got away from him, it wouldn't have been a fight at all. So much so that when he took his son up on that mountain to sacrifice him, he let him. His son let him. He said, I trust my dad. I trust my dad's walk with God. I trust him. Even to the point that if my dad says God told him to sacrifice me, bless God, let it be. Then God said, Troy, why don't you take a look at Lot? Lot was a God-fearing man. I will say that God, in the vernacular that we would use today, Lot was a Christian man. God didn't destroy him. God was going to protect him, his wife, and his children to bring him out of here. He was living in a terrible place. Probably, no doubt, doing backslid and doing terrible things, but he was still God's man. But the part that God showed me, he said, Troy, you know the story. Lot and his wife left with his two daughters. His wife turned back, turned to a pillar of salt. He has to continue on with his two daughters. You know the rest of the story. They get him drunk. They wind up doing bad things with him, having a relationship with their own father, birthing two terrible nations. But this is what God showed me. Troy, Lot talked the talk because his girls knew, hey, we're going to have to get him drunk. But he didn't walk the walk because they knew they could. It was like God said to me, Troy, you threw your kids up at me. Let me tell you something, partner. You know I've called you. You can sit right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee and keep playing church all you want to. You can keep coming in the pews and singing the songs, and you can tithe and you can fill in Sunday school. You can do all this stuff. But Troy, you know that I've called you to follow me in a different capacity. You can stay here and talk the talk, but are you going to walk the walk? Now look at your kids. I don't know about you folks, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what God said to me? Hey, you've not died for your kids yet. Don't tell me you love your kids. Jesus died for your kids. Don't try to hold up to me that you love them more than I do. You've not been to that cross for them yet. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, if God has called you, it's okay for you to sit here. I'm not talking, if this is what God's called you to do, I'm talking about if there's somebody in this crowd tonight who may be dealing, may be struggling a little bit with God, going the next step with God. Really think about what you're doing. Are you going to be like Abraham and talk the talk and walk the walk? Or are you going to be like Lot and just talk the talk? It may have an effect on your kids later on. I don't know about you, but at that point I started thinking, well, maybe I need to go on. Amen. If I really love my kids, maybe I'm going to follow God on. I dealt with that process, right? The whole process, the mental thing going on in my life. The next thing I threw up is God. God, there's no fruit. I mean, I pass out tracts. I go into all these different factories. I get to talk to these men. I share the gospel with them. God, there's just no fruit. And maybe sometimes you feel like that. Maybe you feel like you pass out tracts. Maybe you feel like you talk to this person at the grocery store or the gas pump or wherever you're at. Or maybe you feel like you talk to family or you talk to friends and you just feel like there's no fruit. And I'm telling you, this is a God's honest truth what I'm about to share with you. I was like, God, there's just not enough fruit for me to follow you in a full-time capacity. And I'm going to tell you something. Within 2 weeks of me telling that to God, I'm out in the shop early in the morning. And there was a knock on my door at my house. And a guy was Jimmy Horn was looking for me. My wife said, he's back there in the shop. You're going to have to go talk to him back there. He went back there. He first came in. And we started, you know, chit-chatting because I'd known him from way back. And we started just small talk. And then he said, listen, Troy, I'm going to tell you the real reason I came here tonight, this morning. He said, I've been hunting you down for 2 years. To tell you that the seed you planted in my life finally came to fruition. And I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm following God. Can I tell you something, folks? My hand's on the Bible. I don't ever remember witnessing to him. I don't ever remember pinning him to the wall and doing that. It wasn't a couple weeks after that, a man came out to my shop, old Big Doug Binkley. He said, "Troy, you remember Paul Brown?" I said, "Yeah, I remember Paul Brown. I worked with him at Bridgestone. Paul Brown hated my guts." Let me tell you something. You don't have to be a psychic to tell somebody their future. You just have to know the Bible. Amen? I can tell you, Paul Brown, I can tell you exactly where you're headed with your life based on what you're doing with your life right now. I'm not a psychic. I don't need tarot cards, and I don't need any money to tell you. I can give it to you free. That man hated my guts. If he saw me walking down one side of the factory, I'm telling you, he'd make a beeline to the other side of the factory to just get away from me. Until one day, about 10 years later, old Big Doug Binkley came to my shop and said, "You remember Paul Brown?" I said, "Yeah, I remember Paul Brown." He said, "The doctors have given him about 6 months to live." And he said, "There ain't but one man he trusts to tell him about Jesus, and that's you. Because you never lied to him when you was working with him." Never lied. You think there's not enough fruit? It wasn't long after that. There's a lot of things you guys don't know me. I'm a large man. They call me a normal fat man in Turkey. You're not a fat man. You're just normal fat man. But anyway, I'm a normal fat man, okay? I'm a big man. I used to lift weights for the Navy, traveled on the U.S. weightlifting team, was on the last team to get to lift against the Russians as a communist country. And in my weightlifting, I had a card that I made, Powerlifter's Prayer card. On one side, it was a prayer that said, you know, "God, help me lifting all this heavy weight, my ligaments, my muscles, all that kind of stuff will stay together. I'll stay healthy." On the back of it, it was a prayer of salvation. I would go to competitions and meets everywhere. And I'm telling you, folks, it was probably 6 years. I mean, it had my name and address. If you wanted more information about how to follow the Lord on it, I mean, great. I never got a letter, got a response to it one time until the time that I said, "God, there's no fruit from what I've done. Not enough to follow you in a full-time capacity." Suddenly, I started getting letters in the mailbox, brother. "Can you send me information about how to follow the Lord?" Folks, I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. God shut my business down. God shut my business down, and I still had 3 kids at that time, and I'm saying, "God, how am I going to provide for my kids?" And cutting a long story short, I wound up getting a job in a factory, in the machine shop. I'm the new guy there. Everybody's come up meeting, talking to me or whatever. And there was this young guy that worked there in the machine shop with me. It was obvious. It's not obvious that I'm a weightlifter. Amen. It was obvious that he was a weightlifter. I mean, he had one of those good-looking bodies. Wear tight t-shirts, you know, muscles sticking out and everything. So it's kind of natural for me to go up and say, "Oh, you lift weights?" "Yeah, I lift weights." I told him, "Listen, I used to lift weights all the time too." And we started talking about that. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Troy Williams." He said, "Troy Williams?" I said, "Yeah." Whew. He reached in the back of his billfold. He pulled out one of those Powerlifter's Prayer cards. He said, "Are you this Troy Williams?" I said, "That's me, right there." That was about 8 years after I'd quit lifting weights. God threw back into my face, "You just plant a seed. You let God worry about the fruit. You just be faithful what I've called you to do. You let me worry about whether it's fruit or not." Folks, let me tell you something. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you tonight with that right there. I could go on and on. God threw it back at my kids. "Don't throw your kids up in my face. I'm going to throw them right back at you." God said, "Hey, God, I ain't king follow you. There ain't enough fruit." God said, "You let me worry about the fruit. You just keep doing what I called you to do." Amen. So I want to encourage you guys, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Because God's word will not return void. You just keep doing what God's called you to do. Amen. Anyway. Now, something else is going on in my life. God, why? Why? I'm always, seems like I'm fighting and arguing with God, but I've learned a lot of good things about God and His character and fighting with Him and arguing with Him. I don't know why, but He's not scared of us. Amen? He will meet you with wherever you're at. He ain't intimidated or afraid by you, whether you are a country boy or not, like I said I was. The Middle East might back down a little bit, but God just does not back down. Anyway, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I'm going to give you a little bit story again. God is still dealing with me. God's still, and I've not totally surrendered. I'm fighting with God, and He's, you know, fighting back, and you know how He does. And I'm sitting at that same factory that I just told you about, the little boy that wasn't a little boy, he's in his 20s, pulled out the Powerlifter's Prayer card. I'm sitting there that night, And I'm still a little bit upset that my world has been turned upside down. I still own all my equipment. I still own the shop. I still got everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, why? Why is it so important that I follow you in a full-time capacity? I mean, God, come on. I can buy my own tracks. I don't need anybody to help me. I don't like having to beg people for money now for Bibles, hand out the Bibles. People, God, I had a good job. I can provide my own. I can buy my own tracks. I can buy my own Bibles. I mean, God, I can have my cake and eat it too. God, why is it so important to you that I follow you in a full-time capacity? Why? And I'm sitting there that night in that factory and my world is spinning around. And I open my Bible that night and I'm going to give this to you the same way God gave it to me. Now listen, and at the end of this, I want everybody, even the teens, you guys can do this. Okay, stay focused with me. I'm going to ask you a question at the end of this thing. And whoever gets it right, the pastor said he's going to buy him a steak dinner. Did you tell me he's buying a steak dinner? He didn't tell me. Never mind. I think about having another church or something. Anyway, never mind. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. No steak dinner, but I am going to ask you the question. And I'm going to try to pull you into this world that I've been walking in for a little while. This is a missions conference. Amen? This is a missions conference, and I'm fixing to give you the missions message that God has used in my life. Because one of the ladies was asking me earlier, I don't know where she's at. She goes, ain't you that guy that say you got to be crazy, take a wife of 7 kids, blonde-haired kids, like this fellow that spoke last night. Got this blonde wife and blonde little kids down here. Taking them into the Middle East, you kind of stand out, brother. You can't hide yourself. You know what? Probably won't be that different where you go in New York City. You're going to stand out. Amen? That'll be all right. You're the light of the world. It's just natural you got blonde hair on top of your head. Amen? I'm saying, God, why do I have to do this? And I open up chapter 10 that night, and I'm on my break time, right? I wouldn't do it during work. You know that. I'm on my break time. And I'm reading, and I'll begin in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It said, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in the vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius? And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, I want you to think with me just a minute. I don't know about you, but if you're ever in your living room or you're in your bedroom, I don't even care if you're driving your car down the road and you're praying and you're talking to God and an angel shows up and starts talking to you about what you're praying about, I think what you're talking about is pretty important, don't you? Cornelius is a God-fearing man. He's a devout man. He's one that fears God. He gives alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. Sounds like a good Baptist, really, when you break it down, amen? Find out later he's a fasting man. I mean, we all fast, don't we? I mean, you know. The angel drops down in his room and starts talking to him. Look what the angel said in verse 5. It said, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So you got this guy Cornelius over here, he's praying, he's pouring his heart out to God, right? An angel drops down in his room, tells him 6 very important things. He says, listen, I want you to send some men over to Joppa. Call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's staying at another Simon's house. That Simon is a tanner, and he lives beside the seaside. He'll tell you what you have to do. 6 very important things the angel told him. Okay, amen? So let's skip down a little bit. Cornelius, long story short, Cornelius gets a few of his men together, sends him on down to Joppa. So let's find out what's going on in Joppa. I'll skip down to verse 9, still in chapter 10. It said, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the 4 corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of 4-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter began his own personal fight with God right there, didn't he? Ain't going to happen, God. Just leave me alone. I ain't never done it. I ain't never going to. That's country talk right there. But then Peter said it to him, not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything that is common or clean. The voice spake unto him again the 2nd time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up into heaven again. Now, again, you follow me. You got Cornelius over here praying, God-fearing man, giving alms to people, fasting man, God-fearing man, great man, great, great resume, no doubt. He's praying about something. An angel drops down and says, listen, send some men to Joppa, call for Simon. His surname's Peter. He's staying in another Simon's house. He's a tanner by trade, lives by the seaside. He'll come to see you. I mean, whatever this guy's praying for is shaking up heaven. Amen. Not only is it shaking up Cornelius' life, it's shaking up Peter's life. Peter's over there minding his own business, getting ready for lunch to be made. And all of a sudden, he starts seeing visions. Not once, not two times, but three times. I mean, come on, whatever he's praying for, folks, he has got God's attention. I think God's eye is right on him. Amen? Make a long story short, Peter gets, these men show up at Peter's house. They're like, Peter, can you come on and go with us? And Peter's like, well, looks like I'm going to have to, guys. Come on the way, you know, I'll tell you what happened to me yesterday, and you'll know why. Peter goes with those guys. They see Cornelius, and on his way back, he's then found out he's done a big no-no. Flip over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 2, it says, when Peter, this is after the meeting with Cornelius, it says, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Now listen, Peter, he's a pillar in the church, folks. He's big time. And Cornelius was big time. And when you have a meeting like that in today's world with those type of people, I'm telling you, the television crew would be there. It'd be on television. It'd be on the internet. People would be talking about it. I mean, folks, take yourself into that world just a little bit. Peter is a Jew. And Jews never went into Gentiles' houses. They didn't go into their house and eat with them. They didn't go down and sit down in their table with them. They didn't go and associate with them at all. They're unclean. That was the whole vision that earlier that God was trying to break away from Peter to get him to go see him. And Peter finally gives in and he goes and sees this man. He's come back, and I mean, you can just imagine. I've showed you some of the pictures of the ancient buildings and stuff. I mean, they have those huge columns. They have these huge steps, maybe like you're going up to the Capitol building or the White House. I mean, you can just imagine in your mind. Here comes Peter down the road to Jerusalem. He's headed toward the church, and brother, every one of the deacons are waiting on him. Every one of them. Poor old Peter. And they come up to Peter. They're like, Peter, what in the world was going through your mind? Peter, you know that no Jew would ever go in and sit down and eat with these Gentile people. Peter, you know that nobody would sit down and communicate with them. And you have gone, we've got thousands of baby Christians here in this church. We're trying our best to teach them how to live right for God. And man, you have gone and done something. You've drove a wedge between us and them. Man, we ain't never going to get this thing straightened out. Peter, what in the world was going through your mind? Can't you just feel the tension? We know how people are, whether it was then or now. I'm sure they threw up all kinds of things. Man, you've been a mess up since day one. You might have walked on the water, big boy, but you sank, didn't you? Man, you cut Malchus's ear off. You know Jesus had to pick it up and put it back on. You have done nothing but cause trouble to Jesus since day one. Oh, hey, I'll die for you. Yeah, right, buddy. You denied him three times, just like Jesus said you would. Man, can't you do anything right, Peter? I mean, you folks ever feel that way? I feel that way quite a bit. No matter what I do, I lose. Me and Peter, we're just like this. Peter, what in the world, man, was going on through your mind? How are we going to fix this mess? Do you have anything to say for yourself, big boy? Chapter 11, verse 12. This is Peter speaking in defense of himself. Peter said, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what? Shall be saved. So what was this prayer that shook up heaven and earth? It was a prayer of salvation. I mean, we kind of take that as a simple thing. That's not a simple thing. Amen? Jesus gave his life for salvation. And let me tell you something. When a person is sincere When a person is sincere in their heart and pour their heart out for God for salvation, let me tell you something. You've got God's attention. Amen. Now, you ready for the big question? Everybody got your thinking cap on? I'm sitting there and my world is turned upside down, right? The business, my way of providing for my wife and for my kids, everything has been taken away from me. And I'm saying, God, why? I came across this story that night, and I'm just going to give it to you the way God gave it to me, and I'm going to ask you a question at the end of it. I'm sitting there at that big round table that night, and I'm reading this, saying, God, why? And I come across this guy named Cornelius. Cornelius is a God-fearing man, not only him, but his whole household. Cornelius is a giving man. Cornelius is a fasting man. Cornelius is a very religious man who seemed to have a lot of things going right for him. Amen? The angel drops down, talks to him, and says, listen, why don't you send some into Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname's Peter. He's staying at another Simon's house. He's a tanner by trade. He lives beside the seaside, and he'll tell you what you have to do. Cornelius says, okay. He gets a few of his trusted men together, send them down the road to Joppa. They show up. Peter's already seen the visions. Amen? Peter, can you come and go with us? Peter's like, yeah, looks like I'm going to have to go with you. Peter goes with him, sees Cornelius. You can read the rest of the story. He goes in, sees Cornelius, gives him the gospel. Not only does Cornelius get saved, his whole household gets saved, folks. The whole household gets saved. Is there anything about that story that just strikes you as being kind of odd? We got plenty of time. I always let you out early. They told me that if you, you know, keep it short, you get support. And I think it's the same if you... Yeah. Keep it short, you get to keep your support, I guess. That's... Come on, lighten up, folks. We got 15 minutes. I'll let you out here. Yes, sir, what do you think? Thank you for being a brave man. Anything about that story strikes you as being odd? Do what, buddy? Sure, why didn't he just... Man, hey, that's good. That's the first time I've heard that one. Why didn't he just send Cornelius? Right. 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 Right, right, right. Right, right. Good. Does everybody hear that one? Why didn't he just send Cornelius to Peter then? Wrong answer, brother. That's all right, though. Maybe we'll do something to help you out then. They got a lot of candy out there in that cabinet. When I first came here that morning, I didn't know what was going on in that cabinet. I thought all you guys were carrying guns, and the pastor said, put all your guns in that cabinet before you come into church. I finally asked somebody, what are y'all putting in that cabinet? So they're getting candy out of there, amen? Thank you, brother. Anybody else? Anybody else? See anything about that story? You just think, man, that's weird, huh? Never saw that. Yes, sir. He was called. Peter was called to go. Sure. Most of us missionaries, yeah, we got to receive a call, don't we? Good. You're getting close. Yes, ma'am. It's an example. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? One more. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yeah, there shouldn't be a clean. There shouldn't be. Well, I mean, we should and take the gospel to anywhere. Amen. Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, the Muslims, and anywhere. There shouldn't be. Black, white, Hispanic, don't make any difference. In God's eyes, nobody's unclean. Man, thanks for participation. I'm all right. I'm going to give this to you guys, okay? I'm going to give it to you the way God gave it to me. We're at a missions conference. Amen. Let's not forget that. This is a missions message. What is missions about? Why are we here tonight? Why do you give your finances to help us? Why do you pray for us? Why are we here tonight? I'm going to give you this message the way God gave it to me. I'm sitting there, God, saying, why? My world's turned upside down, right? I come across Cornelius, God-fearing man, loving man, giving man, got everything going right for him, very successful man. But something's missing in his heart, amen? The angel drops down and says, listen, buddy, God has heard your prayer. This is exactly what you need to do. You need to send some men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname's Peter. He's staying at another Simon's house. He's a tanner by trade, and he lives beside the seaside, and he'll tell you what you have to do. And I stopped right there, folks, and it's like God Almighty spoke to me and said, Troy, why didn't that angel just go and tell that man how to be saved? Because he can't do it. He can't do it. Folks, think about this for just a minute. I pushed back from that table that night. This was a big deciding factor in my life. I pushed back from that table at night. I said, God, is the reason you've taken my business away from me, is the reason why you've turned my life upside down? Folks, Peter could have said the same thing. God was asking him in that vision to go against his custom and his traditions, go see these Gentiles, something that he has never done and never dreamed about doing. He said, I ain't doing it, God, forget it. Never done it, never will. God had to work on his heart. I'm sitting there that night saying, God, why? And then God gives me this story. Why didn't the angel just go and tell the man how to be saved? Because he couldn't do it. And I pushed back from that table that night and I said, God, is this the reason why you've taken all this away from me? I said, God, think about this. God, is there somebody somewhere in this world praying tonight to you who wants to be saved? And am I the person you want to cross their path? Folks, that is what missions is about. There are people in Indonesia. There are people in Papua New Guinea. There are people in New York City. Let me tell you something, folks. There's people in Ponca City. There are people all over this world. I told the pastor with it today, I'm not in Turkey because I'm excited about living in the Middle East, raising my kids in the Middle East, but I'm there because God called me there. And the pastor asked me, are you afraid of dying? I said, Pastor, I have come to know this one fact. I lost my life the day I got saved. Those Muslims can't take anything away from me that I hadn't already lost, but it's been put in good hands. Amen. They can't take anything away from me. All they can do is send me home. I said, God, is there somebody somewhere in this world praying tonight who wants to know you as their personal Lord and Savior? They may be calling God something, a totally different name. There may honestly be a Muslim in the Middle East tonight praying, calling his name Allah. God, are you really out there? Do you really hear me? God, I'm empty inside. God, there's something missing inside of my heart. And God looks at their heart, not what's coming out of their mouth. God has lots of names all over the world. But let me tell you something. God Almighty looks right at their heart and says, you know what you really need and what you're really looking for is me. A little bit later, God said, listen, Troy, that person is in Turkey. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are people in Turkey today that are praying and pouring their heart out to God saying, God, I'm not happy with Islam. It is nothing but a dead religion. And I go over there to that mosque and I bow down. And when I set up, I'm exactly as empty. I'm as empty when I come up as I went when I went down. God, are you really out there? God, if you really are out there, can you please send somebody by to talk to me? God said, yeah, I got an old boy over in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's headed your way. Amen. You just hang on. Folks, that's what missions is about. We're not up here raising money to go out and just squander, live fancy lives and be adventurous and fly in airplanes and go to different countries and do things. There are people in all over this world pouring their heart out to God, scared, lost, empty. And when they pour their heart out to God, God calls missionaries out of our churches to take them the gospel. That's what missions is about. It's about people praying and wanting to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's why you support us. That's why you support missionaries to go and find that person. Folks, listen. And I'll close with this. Maybe there's somebody here tonight just like Cornelius. Maybe you're religious, but you've never been born again. Maybe you're religious, but you've never been born again. You know what? A missions conference would be a good time to settle that with God. Amen. Another thing I want to bring out before I turn this over to you, Pastor. Your pastor gave you a challenge Sunday morning. That during this missions conference, he wants you to share the gospel with somebody. Amen? You remember that challenge he gave you? Some of you may be griping in one sense. Some of you may not like your job. Some of you may not like your school, kids. Amen? Don't give them too many amens there. Some of you may not like the subdivision you're in. Some of you may not like the neighbors you have. But let me tell you something. Just as God has each one of us placed in our countries for a reason, I can assure you God's got you right where He wants you to. Amen? There may be a neighbor secretly saying, God, I want to know who you are. Can you please, I know so-and-so goes to church over there. Would you send them by to talk to me? You may be working with somebody today. They ain't going to come up and ask you for it. They may be looking at you, watching you. Lord, I'm empty. My marriage is falling apart. I got all my kids. All these things are going along. God, I'm just empty inside. God, would you send somebody? God says, yeah, I got somebody right there. You need to open your mouth. Amen? Because I can assure you of this right now. This is God is my witness. If you don't open your mouth and share the gospel with them, there ain't no angel going to drop down and do it. Folks, evangelism, missions is a responsibility that God has given every one of us. So I reiterate the challenge that the pastor gave you Sunday, this week, and continuing. Share the gospel with somebody. Amen. Pastor, you can come, musician, however you want to handle this. Father God, if you'll pray with me. Father God, I turn this time over to you. Lord, you know I've prayed many times before I come in this building tonight. And Lord, you know that I've just opened up and shared my heart with these people, the struggles that I've gone through, and the reason why we support missions. Lord, there's people all over the world given a clear plan of salvation would accept you. But Lord, they've never heard it. That's what missions is about. Father God, I pray that you right now, the Holy Spirit would work in this building. If there's anybody in this church tonight that's thinking about a family member, a friend, somebody you work with, a school partner that you know that you need to be talking about, you know what? Tonight would be a good night for you to come pray and ask God to give you the boldness to speak to that person. God, we turn this time over to you now and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I'm going to stand, sing page 39, Take My Life and Let It Be. Lord, let's talk to you as Troy gave the challenge. I challenge you to come. Talk back to the Lord.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city, at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.